Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good Thursday morning to you all. Welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf. That is Nick Wright. Chris Broussard is sitting next to me this morning. I couldn't be happier about that. What's up, Chris?
What's happening?
We have a big Thursday morning show for you today, but we will start with a big Thursday night show that is scheduled for this evening. Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens hosting the Jets tonight. Thursday night football. Lamar has his Ravens team on a 9-game win streak right now, with his eyes set on three things. One, breaking Michael Vick's single-season quarterback rushing record. Two, clinching the Ravens' second straight divisional title. And three, proving that his quad injury is nothing to worry about. Nick, we'll start with you. Let's start there. Should the runaway MVP change his style of play until that quad heals?
I think tonight is a really good opportunity for Lamar, absent of the quad injury. I don't think that it's about the quad injury, to get back on track in the one part of his game, and the one part of the Ravens game that's been lacking during this winning streak, and that's their downfield passing game. And if you're limited in that regard because he has the leg injury and he's not as much of a running threat, then so be it. You're up against a very limited opponent, an opponent that might be without some of its best players, a team that doesn't have that many high-quality players to begin with. But the sneaky story behind Lamar and the Ravens' success this season has been he hasn't thrown for 250 yards since week four. The first 4 weeks of the year, he threw for at least 247 in every week, but they were only 2-2. Since then, during this 9-game winning streak, he's thrown for 175 yards per game. Now, he has been awesome because the defense has been improved. His running is so difficult to account for, and he's taking care of the football. But when you look at, like, Willie Snead, who is their second leading receiver, Broussard, he hasn't had 20 yards receiving since October 6th. Hollywood Brown, who is their leading receiver, has only 3 games with 50 yards receiving. Miami, Arizona, Cincinnati. 3 of the worst pass defenses in football. So I'm not saying any of this to take something away from Lamar. What I am saying is the Ravens right now are the favorites to win the Super Bowl. In order for that to happen, they're going to have to beat 3 consecutive high-quality opponents, 3 teams that are going to ostensibly, at least 2 of them, have high-quality pass defenses. They need to start working on some of their outside-of-the-numbers passing. I think tonight's a really good opportunity for them to do that. And if it's part of it's because Lamar's a little hampered in the run game, all the better.
Yeah, I'm with you. In theory, this makes all the sense in the world. And look, you got a bruised quad. And he's telling everybody, and he's right, it happened in the pocket while he was passing the footballs, not while he was running. However, Earl Thomas, Lamar Jackson, and others have said, now you see defenses going for his legs a lot more. When he's in the pocket, you can't hit him low.
Yep.
So for health's sake, it makes sense to stay in the pocket. Once you start running the ball, as you know, you are a running back, and teams, in addition to trying to stop you, they will be going for your legs because teams want to slow you down for that game and then even maybe for the future. So I think from a health standpoint, it makes sense to change things up. And then what you said is right. They do have to work on their outside passing game, him getting receivers involved. The Jets also are a good team defensively against the rush.
Yep.
They're one of the best in the league. They're mediocre, really bottom half against the pass. So this is a game you figure you could win even if you're not at your best. So why not work on these things? So theoretically, I'm with you. in reality, I think they're going to play the way they play. I think Lamar will. He's downplaying the injury. He says, I'm 100%. John Harbaugh says it's not a serious injury. And you mentioned what you said is really important. When he was throwing for more yards, they weren't winning as much.
They weren't
this dominant team. It's because of the run. And so I just think John Harbaugh and Lamar, they both seem, I don't want to say stubborn in a negative way, but they want to do things their way. So I think they're going to just go out there and play their football game because they also need to win. They need to make sure they win
so they can continue to be the number one seed.
This is also a good chance to see where their defense is. We know they're a good defense. I like this matchup. I mean, Lamar was on the board when the Jets were like, let's take Sam Darnold. He's our future. 29 picks later, they went with Lamar. And a couple weeks ago, we heard Sam Darnold say, you know, I'm seeing ghosts against that Patriot. It was a Patriots defense, yes. I think. What do you think he's going to say with this Baltimore Ravens defense?
Since the Ravens added Marcus Peters, they have been arguably and statistically the best pass defense in football. They've surpassed what New England was doing just in this stretch of time, and this Ravens defense got secondary healthy, and they also added a true elite level playmaker in Peters. People forget, I don't think people watched Marcus Peters as much in Kansas City as I did when the Chiefs took him. Coach Mangini said he was one of the highest rated players he had evaluated as far as skill set standpoint. And he came to Kansas City and he was an absolute ball hawk. There were some personality issues. There were some issues with ownership about maybe some of Marcus's stances. They ship him out to the Rams. And with Los Angeles, really, the most notable moment from him was getting beat last year against New Orleans and looking around when Michael Thomas is streaking for a touchdown, the play where Michael Thomas, if you remember, pulled out the cell phone right after, and it was really controversial. The moment he got to Baltimore, he got back to being the Marcus Peters from Kansas City. That Ravens defense, now with Earl Thomas having almost a full season under his belt, is reminding people he is still one of, if not the elite safety in football. And then you have Humphreys and you have Smith and you have Brandon, the ageless Brandon Carr. So yeah, this is a tough putt for Sam Darnold. It's one of the reasons why I think offensively, Chris, the Ravens can experiment a bit. I understand what you're saying, which is, and I do think week 17 against Pittsburgh, if they haven't clinched the one seed yet, then yeah, they are going to do what they do to get the win by any means necessary. Against the Jets, I feel like you're going to be able to, if you want to try to work on some things offensively, you can, because I don't think the Jets are going to be able to penetrate that Ravens defense.
I think you're absolutely right that they should do it. Do you think they will, though?
Well, I think if the game's in control, I think, and if you're seeing that Darnold's not going to be able to move the football through the air, then I think you can take a few more chances. Like, how many points? There's 17-point favorites all of a sudden in this game. One of the biggest favorites we've had in the NFL all year. I just think they can be a little more liberal with what they do offensively.
Yeah, and I think your point about Peters is great. Obviously, he wasn't doing that in L.A. I think Earl Thomas has probably had a great effect on him.
Yep.
You know, Thomas is a guy that a lot of players around the league like. I love his attitude. What he brings, obviously, he's a champion. And I think that he and Peters are a great fit in that defensive backfield. And I bet he's had a positive effect on him.
And Brandon Carr, who's been in this league now for 12 years, has never missed a single game. Fifth-round pick by the Kansas City Chiefs. He and Peters didn't play together there, but have some commonality and is one of the better. I think he just got nominated for the Ed Block Courage Award for that team. I think they have a really good group of people. And Marcus Peters always been kind of a, I don't know, an edge player, if you will. And Baltimore's getting the absolute most out of it.
Kawhi Leonard making his long-awaited return to Toronto as a Clipper. And the Toronto faithful couldn't have been nicer. A standing ovation, MVP chants during the pregame ring ceremony. Kawhi finished with 23 points, 5 boards, and 6 assists in the Clippers' win. 112-92 was your final. Broussard, does Kawhi deserve MVP consideration despite all this load management that we keep talking about?
Absolutely not. Kawhi has willingly taken himself out of the top-tier regular season awards. And now he's showing you it's all about the playoffs. I'm about rings. I don't think he cares if he's in the MVP race. Now, he's clearly one of the best players in the league, but should he be in it? No. Part of the job description, Nick, is being there. That's part of it.
I would say a major part of it.
Because you're obviously most valuable player. How much value do you have for your team? You're missing games. You're hurting your team. Now, they're 4-3 without him. You said it. I know you're going to say it again. They're going to have a tougher first-round matchup because Kawhi is missing games.
Of course.
So you can't be in the MVP conversation now. He's one of the best players in the world. I think he should be in the discussion for best player in the world when he plays. But when you willingly sit out, no, I can't, there's no way you'll be the MVP. You won't be first team All-NBA, even though you may deserve that as well. You'll probably be second team, but he's giving all of this up. And on top of that, Nick, his numbers aren't what they usually are.
Yeah, I mean, when you say you should be in the discussion for best player in the world, outside of the final 3 weeks of last season, he's never been in that discussion and right now should not be.
I think I don't put him in there because of the missed games and the low management,
but
not just numbers. When you, the eye test,
he's great. He's not, the eye test to me is not that you don't watch him and get the same feeling of when you watch LeBron or Giannis or even this year Luka. Like, not to me. And so but you're obviously right on the MVP stuff. Like, just to answer the question, there's been one modern era MVP to not play 70 games if you remove the seasons that weren't 70 games. That's obviously not
fair.
It was Bill Walton in, I want to say, 1978. He got hurt, but the team won 58 games. They were clearly the best team in basketball. And he barely, Dusty can check on this if memory serves, I think he barely beat George Gervin that year. It was very close, but he was on the best team in basketball. Kawhi's not going to be on the best team this year. He's not going to play, forget 70, he might not play 65. Last year he only played 60.
He's on pace for 60, I believe.
Right, he's on pace for the same amount as he played last year. He misses a quarter of the games. And last year, by the way, he was not criticized for this because he was coming off a major injury. And Toronto was, we thought, trying to go above and beyond to try to convince him to stay. So they were being extra, you need a day, take two type of situation. But if we're doing MVP candidates this season, there is a top tier. It is LeBron, Giannis, Luka, Harden, and Anthony Davis over the last few weeks has risen into it. The second tier would be Pascal Siakam, Kemba Walker, we just talked about, and Joel Embiid. Kawhi would be down in that third tier along with Jimmy Butler. I think his teammate Paul George, Donovan Mitchell, Spencer Dinwiddie.
Dinwiddie's been great. So are you saying he's that level of player?
No. I'm saying I don't have a vote. You have a vote. I'm saying if you're doing the balloting, if I'm talking about level of player, that first tier are five players who are better than Kawhi Leonard right now.
I would not say they're better. Kawhi, you're right. If you just go by sheer numbers, he doesn't compare to the guys in your top tier.
Yeah.
But if you look at game and impact on the game, eye test, impact on the game, he is definitely in that class. We know how great he is defensively. Offensively, the thing I love about him, and this separates him from most players in the league, most of the great players in the league today, he doesn't need to dominate the ball to be effective. That's where the comparisons to Michael Jordan go. No wasted dribbles, over dribbling the basketball. Two dribble, pull up. Mid-range game is incredible. He can get the shot he wants whenever he wants it. And the fact that he doesn't dominate the ball enables him to play with guys. It makes it easy for guys to play with him. That's why he's hardly played with Paul George. They haven't practiced, I don't believe, yet once or certainly not twice together. And they're fitting together seamlessly because Kawhi can get his offense in the flow of the system. And that's a valuable thing. It doesn't look as dominant as Luka or LeBron, a guy that's always Harden, always has the ball in his hands, but the effectiveness is incredible.
And last night they blew out a really good Raptors team, a team that has been exceptional at home, and Kawhi was the best player on his team. He and Lou Williams. Paul George had a really rough game yesterday, and they still blew out the Raptors. But there's an element, there's an element here it's not even revisionist history. It's created history. Kawhi Leonard only twice has been in an MVP discussion for the regular season. The 2016 and 2017 seasons. 2018, he was injured. 2019, he didn't play enough games. And prior to 2016, he was a 17-point-per-game type of player. He's only had three seasons in his career where he averaged more than 20 points per game. We know he's not a playmaker. Now, you mentioned the defense, and there was a point in time when Kawhi Leonard was the best defender in basketball, he and Draymond Green going back and forth for it for a three-year stretch. That is not what he does anymore. Maybe he can activate it, but Kawhi Leonard, I watched that Milwaukee game. He wasn't head up against Giannis. I watched them against the Rockets. He wasn't head up against Harden because he has the workload on offense. They are not asking him to be the claw defensively that he once was. And so we're assigning at sometimes 2015 Kawhi Leonard defense to 2019 Kawhi Leonard when he's not demonstrating it to me night in, night out.
You had him in the third tier, would that be different if he wasn't load managing?
Well, of course.
What tier would you have him in?
Based on how he's played, he'd be right there with Pascal Siakam, Kemba Walker, Joel Embiid. He'd be up a tier. His numbers, if you just were to pretend he had played every game this year, his numbers are good. They're not great. He's giving you 24 points, 7 assists, or 7 rebounds, 5 assists on really below his standard of shooting. 45%, 33% from three. Like, he would not be with LeBron, Giannis, Luka, Harden, or Anthony Davis, given the way Anthony Davis has played lately.
Something has to be said about the load management, though, because there's this misnomer that, well, the Spurs did this, Duncan did this. Look, Preach. Tim Duncan played 82 games 4 times in his first 5 years. Now, I say 82, 1 year was 50, but that was a short
played the full season.
The full season. He played 77 games his 13th year and his 18th year.
Yes.
His 18th year, Duncan played 77 games, averaged 29 minutes a game. Load management in San Antonio was nothing like what Kawhi is doing. It was more limiting our guys to 31, 32 minutes a game. Nobody plays more than 33, but it wasn't just sitting out 20 some odd
games. And it was dropping the standard from playing, you're going to play 80 or more unless you suffer an injury, to 74 or more. And nobody is sitting here saying, Kawhi Leonard, Giannis missed last night. Now he's dealing with a slight nagging injury.
He was injured.
But it's the type of thing that probably 25 years ago a guy plays through.
Right.
But guys are smarter now, and it's like, you know what? If Giannis is going to take a game off every 25 games, it's probably smart for him. No one is saying you have to play 80 games or you're not doing your job. But your point on San Antonio inventing it is so important. The inventors of it never did it to this degree, even with a player who had been in the league twice as long as Kawhi's been in the league. Duncan was playing 74 games every year until his final two seasons in basketball when he was at the very, very end.
And again, 77 was, I think, his second to last year.
And so it's just, we've never seen anything like
it. And they need him. Clippers, what, 15-4 when he plays? And what is he when they're
winning? 4-3 when he's out. So, yeah, that's the very opposite of the most valuable player.
Yeah.
It's hurting your team when you're sitting out.
Did you know that as many as 7 out of 10 adults wished they played a musical instrument? Unfortunately, many never do because they think it's either too late for them to start or too expensive. Musician is an online music education platform rethinking the way people learn music. It's the fun, easy, and affordable way to learn guitar, piano, bass, ukulele, or even learn to sing. Just download the app to your desktop, tablet, or phone and start playing. Musician is perfect whether you're just starting out or have been playing for years. Enjoy thousands of popular songs, expertly crafted lessons and exercises across dozens of genres. Compared to private lessons, Musician is more affordable, lets you learn on your own schedule. You'll get bite-sized lessons, easy-to-follow instructions, and exercises tailored to your goals. Using Musician to learn an instrument like guitar or piano is much better than trying to teach yourself. So, if you've been wanting to learn an instrument or simply want some help getting back to playing, check out Musician. You can get an extended 14-day free trial of their premium package at musician.com/play. That's unlimited lessons and unlimited songs on as many instruments as you want for 2 whole weeks. Just go to musician.com/play to start your free trial today. That's YOUSICIAN.com/play.
All right, let's move on to the NBA now. Lakers were in Orlando last night, and LeBron James put the team on his back. The King finishing with 25 points, 11 boards, 10 assists for his sixth triple-double of the season. Lakers win 96-87. They improved to an NBA best 22-3 on the season. And how about this? They also extended their road winning streak to 12 games. Here's LeBron James after the win.
I assert my will when I step on the floor. It's all about just trying to make the right plays, the right passes, the right, you know, the right reads as a point guard on the team, and you know, do the things defensively too to help our team win.
Broussard, is LeBron still the best player in the NBA now that he's shifted to point guard?
Well, who's in the discussion? It's really down to LeBron and Giannis.
Yep.
I would throw Kawhi in there if he played, you know, every night, essentially. Anthony Davis is not in it because with Anthony Davis, if he's on my team, I still need another guy to handle the ball and get it to Anthony Davis. Whereas Giannis can bring the ball up the court and play point guard, essentially. Yep. LeBron obviously can do it. Kawhi. So that's the difference between an AD and these guys. And then James Harden, defensively, he just doesn't get it done. And I just think he needs to change his style up a little bit to win at a higher level. So you're talking about LeBron and Giannis for the best player in the world title. Kawhi can get in there in the playoffs. Like, if he dominates the playoffs like he did last year and they win it, then he's in the discussion. But for now, with him sitting out every fourth game, no. Now, LeBron and Giannis, I give LeBron the edge. I didn't think I'd say it. I thought his days of being the best player in the world were over. But I give him a slight edge over Giannis, and here's why. Because I think Giannis, we'll see this year, but he's got maybe too much respect for LeBron. Like, when they played last year, it was only one game. But in Milwaukee won, but LeBron had 31 and 10 boards, 7 assists. I'm sorry, 10 assists, 7 rebounds. Giannis had 16 points, 15 rebounds, but only 16 points and only took like 14 shots. It was his lowest scoring game of the entire second half of the season. And when I watched it, I saw a guy that almost was deferring to somebody he'd looked up to. Now, maybe it's just in my mind, but that's what I saw, deferring to a guy he'd looked up to maybe his entire, most of his life. So I think LeBron still has that edge. And if you look at the playoffs last year, we've never seen LeBron, you know, since that Dallas series, really struggle in the playoffs. Giannis only averaged 22 points a game against Toronto in that conference final, and Kawhi outplayed him and took him out of his game. Over, Giannis shot like 44%, which is unheard of for him.
Yep.
So until with those blemishes on his record, I've got to give the edge to LeBron right now.
So you're 100% correct that it's a two-person race. And I know there are some folks that think some of the Kawhi Leonard shade that they think comes from me is because he threatens LeBron. Kawhi Leonard is not. There's one person in the league right now that threatens LeBron's place atop the mountain. It's Giannis. And Giannis might one of my five favorite players ever and my second favorite player in the league right now. And if you would have sat right here and made the argument, Giannis is the best player in basketball, I would have disagreed. But it's a strong argument because what Giannis does on both ends of the court, his team has the same record. He doesn't have an Anthony Davis alongside of him. He has a good coach. He has a good supporting cast, but it's not like Hall of Fame coach, Hall of Famers all around him. So I understand the argument for Giannis. The reason I think it still goes to LeBron is not just the playoff part, which is a part of it, which is right now Giannis does. He has to prove to you that he has learned from that failure in those final four games against Toronto. Where you wall off the rim, say, find another way to beat me, like, which is what Toronto did.
And he's added the three a little bit, but still.
And I think he will prove that. I think Milwaukee's going to coast to the NBA Finals. I think we are on a collision course between these two guys where they will get to play it out. But the strongest argument LeBron has is not even a statistical one. It is a, be honest with yourself right now. If you had a great team, awesome players around, and you could add any one player in basketball to it, who would you add? It's LeBron.
If I already had a great team?
You already had a great team, and you can add any one player in basketball, you would add LeBron.
I'm not sure. Not that LeBron wouldn't be the best option individually, but I might add a Kevin Durant.
Okay, well,
I know Kevin Durant.
Well, he has a blown Achilles, so it doesn't.
Okay, I might add a Kawhi. because I think they fit in. If I add LeBron, all of a sudden it becomes based around LeBron.
Okay, well, but between really LeBron and Giannis, let me. If you have a terrible team and you can add any one player in basketball, it's LeBron.
If you
need a guy who is going to be able to play 37 plus minutes a night, 80 games, and you can add any player in basketball, Giannis and LeBron are the answer. If you say we're already in the playoffs and we're going to have to go through four rounds of wars, you can add any player in basketball, the answer is LeBron. He's the answer to all the questions. If we need a small ball five to try to match a team that's just going to go pace and space, LeBron might be your first choice. If you need a point guard for a new team that's going to play two centers, we just found out LeBron is your first choice. And by the way, he's the greatest forward to ever play. So the answer to all these questions for the last 14 years, last year notwithstanding, has been LeBron. It is somewhat remarkable. It still is that. And I think Giannis is going to be the answer for the next decade. I think Giannis and Luka are going to battle this thing out. And the only reason Luka wasn't included for you is I would assume he hasn't done it long enough and doesn't do it enough on the defensive end. Never seen Luka in a playoff war of those, because his numbers this year are off the charts, right?
Like that's I've fought against it. But I think at 20 years old, you know, the question has been, is he the best 20-year-old we've ever seen? I go with Magic Johnson because of what he did in the finals that year, rookie year. But I think you have to put Luka over LeBron as a 20-year-old.
As a 20-year-old?
Just because of the way he's leading Dallas in a tough Western Conference to, what, the fourth seed right now?
Right now they're the third seed, actually. So
And the numbers obviously are a little better,
a debate
too.
For another day. But the one other thing for the Lakers, the only player on that team other than LeBron that has a track record of winning is Danny Green.
Rondo.
You know what? Yeah, absolutely right. Rondo, you're correct. I was thinking of the starting lineup.
Avery,
but you're correct.
Avery Bradley
had some winning. Right. Dwight Howard had winning early in his career, but not late. Anthony Davis doesn't. Kuzma obviously doesn't. And by the way, Frank Vogel doesn't have a great track record of winning. He had the couple years in Indiana.
But he's a good coach. Very good coach.
But LeBron has been on and off the court the driving force on that team.
No question.
For the best team in the NBA.
I think you fudged it a little because there were a lot of players with some winning backgrounds on that team.
He is the engine, I give you that, for the whole
franchise.
Nobody on that team other than LeBron and Danny Green have a recent history of winning.
The Rockets were in Cleveland last night to play the Cavs. How about James Harden? Just another ho-hum monster night. 55 points, including 20 in the fourth quarter. Harden went 10 of 18 from deep, only needed 5 free throws to drop the double nickel. Rockets hold off the Cavs for the 116-110 win. Nick, is James Harden the best scorer since Wilt?
No, he's second best scorer since Wilt. Wilt, Jordan, Harden. And I think Harden has now passed Elgin. Rick Barry, who gets forgotten in this, Kobe, the KD, and the Kobe one I think is important because Kobe had a year where scoring was the only thing that he was worried about. It was because they couldn't win the title that year. It was the second year without Shaq, and he averaged the 81-point game year, the 62 and three quarters, and he averaged 35 and a half. Harden averaged more than that last year and is going to average more than that this year. This year he might average 40. But I think Harden's done something maybe more notable than become the best scorer since Wilt. I think James Harden this year has right now, and it's a list he doesn't want to be at the top of, but I think he's now at the top of it. I believe James Harden is the best player in NBA history to not have a ring.
Wow.
I think he has, he's surpassed Iverson. He's surpassed CP3, obviously, Patrick Ewing, Elgin, who I love, and I think Elgin is one of the most underrated guys ever, and he's even surpassed our mutual friend Charles Barkley and Karl Malone. I think James Harden is the best player in the history of the NBA without a title. He would like to instead become just the 14th best or 17th best player with the title. I'm sure at some point that's where he wishes to be, but that's what I think. And I know you and I can parse on the scoring thing. I knew you'd probably be taken aback by the best player without a ring.
Yeah, I'm still
He's led the league in assists. He's led the league in scoring. He's won the MVP. He's finished second 3 separate times. Tough to find a better resume of the guys without a ring than the one James Harden.
He's a phenomenal player. There's no doubt about it. I actually voted for him to win another MVP award the first year Steph Curry won it. I would argue maybe Barkley over Harden. Barkley arguably inch for inch, that's not a term many people use, but inch for inch, the greatest player we've ever seen. I mean, 6'4", really, as a power forward, was a terrific rebounder. Got his team to the finals. Harden hadn't even done that. I mean, you know.
He's been in the finals, but it wasn't his team.
Coming off the bench with Durant and Westbrook. So, Barkley at least got a team to the finals and gave Michael Jordan, you know, a lot of trouble in that series. I might also put Malone over him. Obviously, Malone's, what, third all-time scoring?
Second all-time scoring, and he has two MVPs to Harden's one.
Right.
Malone's longevity was and durability. We'd never seen a player as durable as Malone until LeBron. To me, Barkley and Malone are the two best players without a ring, and Elgin gets forgotten. He's third. But I think Harden over the last couple years surpassed him. And here's the thing about taking a team to the finals. Would Barkley have taken a team to the finals if Jordan and the Bulls were in his conference? The answer is no. Look, Harden took his team to what was the de facto NBA Finals, the Western Conference Finals, against KD and Steph and the Warriors, and they were up 3-2 until the second best player got hurt. They were up 15 in a game 7 of that. Does that make sense? Like, that to me, that was the NBA Finals.
But Barkley did have to, I don't remember if they played at this point, but Olajuwon, David Robinson, those guys were in the West. Carl Malone and John Stockton.
It was brutal. The West was tough.
But to your point, looking at circumstances, I think there are other players you could put in Mike D'Antoni's system that Harden's green light is unbelievable. If you put Steph Curry in that system,
he couldn't hold. No.
I don't know that Harden holds up because he doesn't get it done in the playoffs.
So last year, it should be noted. Last year, James Harden averaged more points, assists, higher field goal percentage in the playoffs in his 6 games against the Warriors than Kawhi did in his 6 games against the Warriors against a tougher Warriors team that was much healthier. And Kawhi's team won. He's finals MVP, and it's considered an amazing performance. Harden's team loses, even though Harden, we could put him side by side.
His numbers
Harden
were great.
We're great. So I don't think it's fair to say there's one playoff series where I feel like he got concussed in it. A few years ago, the one against San Antonio. Where
he had other struggles against Golden State.
Early.
Back, yeah.
He had the 10 turnovers in a closeout game. I get it. But he plays. The thing about Steph is Harden plays every night. Plays super high minutes, has to do all of it. If other guys could do it, they would.
No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't, because this isn't proven to win. And you play to win the game, to quote the great Herm Edwards. I mean, and that's why, even though Kawhi's numbers aren't as big as Harden's were against the Warriors, Kawhi gets the love because they won. I just think, and I don't want to take anything away from Harden, because he is historically great. But if Kevin Durant shot as much as James Harden, he could do this.
I don't.
If Kobe Bryant even.
Kobe did.
James Harden has shot 40. I know they can throw out effective field goal percentage because he's a good free throw shooter. He gets to the line and the three pointers. He's shooting 34% from three. He's shooting 14 threes a game.
Yeah.
How many guys couldn't shoot 14 threes a game and put up huge numbers?
Again, so I just public service announcement.
And he shot 44% the last 6 years.
If other 44%. Guys could do it. You should do it. Because route to a half a billion in career earnings, an MVP, and a bunch of runners up. Like, other guys would want those things. Real quick on Steph. So you think Steph, when he comes back, because his team's going to need it. Or Steph, if he hadn't broke his hand.
No, he won't do it.
Steph, if he hadn't broke his hand, could do this.
If you put him in Mike D'Antoni's system. Mm-hmm. Just like we saw Steve Nash. Steve Nash would not, with all due respect, would not be a Hall of Famer if he wasn't in Mike D'Antoni's system. Harden would not be averaging these outlandish numbers were it not for Mike D'Antoni's system. If you put Steph, if you put Russ in, give him the ball and take Harden off the team, I'm not saying he'd average 39, but he would put up some astronomical numbers as well. And let me ask you this, Nick. Are you one that says LeBron could average a triple-double for a season?
I don't think
if
that was the only thing that mattered to him, sure. I think the rebounding's really hard. I think averaging 10 rebounds a game is really hard. I don't think the but Harden it's
if
led
that
to
were
winning.
The only thing that mattered.
But for Harden, it led to the one seed. Okay, we got to leave it there.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.